Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Yevomah's Daf Pei Vov. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our home page. If you're already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the marked Daf Gemara before the shiur. If you wish to be in touch with us, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. We begin today's shiur 4 lines from the top of Daf Pei Vov. In our previous shiur, we encountered a machlokes tanoim, a Tanaic controversy regarding Maaser Rishon. According to Rebbe Meir, Maaser Rishon is given strictly to Levium. According to Rebbe Elazar, we saw that he allows the giving of Maaser Rishon, that's a tithe that is practiced every year of the sabbatical year, of the sabbatical years, that is, years 1 through 6 of the 7-year sabbatical cycle, the 7th year, of course, being Shemitah. We do not tithe anything during the sabbatical year, but during the first 6 years of the sabbatical cycle, 1/10 of one's produce is given to a Levi. Rebbe Meir says only to a Levi. Rebbe Lozar introduces the idea that it can be given even to a Kohen. So we are now on the 4th line from the top. My taimo de Rebbe Meir, why does he prohibit Maaser Rishon to non-Levium? Omar Rav Acha Brei de Rova Mishmei de Gemara. Rav Acha says in the name of a tradition that he has, Rashi points out, Mishmei de Gemara kach kibel meirabo v'rabo meirabo ad Rebbe Meir sheshoma mishmo v'lav min daite kumaforsh the time of the Rebbe Meir. Rav Acha is not saying the following in his own name, on his own, but rather he's saying it based on a tradition that goes back to Rebbe Meir himself. The pasuk says, "Ki es masa b'nei Yisrael ashirimu l'Hashem truma." So, in this pasuk, you see Maaser referred to and truma. Truma is the tithe given to kohanim. Ma truma asur lazarim, just like truma is forbidden to non-kohanim. Af Maaser Rishon asur lazarim, so too Maaser Rishon is forbidden to non-levium. Question: E ma truma chayovim alav miso v'choymesh af meiser chayovim alav miso choymesh. If you want to parallel the two, then are you going to tell me that just like truma carries with it a penalty of death at the hands of heaven if a non kohen eats it, v'choymesh is a payment of one principal plus a fifth for someone who eats truma, who shouldn't have eaten the truma? So too, are you going to say the same thing with Maaser, that there's death at the hands of heaven for someone who deliberately eats it, for a non-Levi that deliberately eats it? And is there a compensation of principal plus a fifth for one who eats it, or just like we say by truma? Obviously, we don't say that. Omar Kro. So regarding Truma, the Pasuk says, Umesu bo ki yichaluluhu v'yosav chamishisoy olov. We learn from this, there's a limitation expression through the word bo. Bo means there is death in it, in Truma, v'loba, meiser. There's another limitation word in the Pesukim we just read, olov. The need to add a fifth in its payment is on it for truma velo al meiser. So as far as the limitation is concerned of giving the meiser rishon only to a Levi and not to a non-Levi, that we learn from the parallel to truma in the pasuk cited above, Bamidbar Perek Yud Ches Pasuk Chav Daled. But as far as carrying the parallel between Maaser and Truma all the way to include Misa and Chomesh, so that, you see, is excluded from the Psukim in Vayikra, Chof Beis, Psukim Tes, and Yud Dalid. We continue. The Rabbanan, who disagree with Rebbe Meir, what do they learn from the pasuk in Bamidbar, Ki Asmas Bnei Israel? Ma truma toveles af meiser rishonami tovel. Tovel, in this context, it means something that needs to be tithed that hasn't had those tithes removed from it, or very simply untithed produce. So just like truma causes tevel, that is, if you harvested your field and you haven't removed truma, the tithe given to kohanim from your produce, the produce is called tevel, and tevel is forbidden to eat. It's forbidden to everybody to eat. In fact, one who eats tevel, he is punishable by misa bidei shemayim, death at the hands of heaven. So are we to say, just like truma creates tevel, meiser, that is, the rabbonin say, not, if this isn't a question, but the rabbonin say, that just like truma creates tevel, so too a meiser rishon that is left within the original produce that hasn't been tithed, that creates tevel. Rashi adds that even though eating straight meiser rishon by a non-levi does not result in misa, the produce that hasn't had meiser rishon removed from it, in other words, tevel because of the meiser rishon that has not been removed, that will result in misa bidei shamayim. So the Rabbanan learn from Bamidbar Perek Yudches Pasuk Chav Daled this very point. Uchidisanya. We have a Tanaic source that elaborates on this. Rabbi Yossi Oimer, Yochol Lo Yehei Chayov Elo Al Tevel Shalohura Mimenu Kol Iker. Could it be that the prohibition of Tevel and the punishment that it bears refers only to tevel from which nothing has been removed? Could that be? Huram mimenu truma gedoyla velo huram mimenu maiser rishon. What about tevel from which truma gedoyla, that's the truma given to kohanim, the main truma, in contrast to with the trumas maiser, which is removed from the maiser rishon that a levi receives? Here we're talking about the basic truma. What about tevel, produce from which the basic truma has been removed, but not maiser rishon, or maiser rishon velo maiser sheni, or maiser rishon has been removed as well, but not the maiser sheni tithe? That's the tithe that one separates from his produce in the first, second, fourth, and fifth of the sabbatical years, and eats that in Jerusalem, the 10% of his produce that he brings to Shalim during those years. That's called Maiser Sheni. So what about produce from which Maiser Rishon has been removed but not Maiser Sheni? Ve'afilu Maiser Oni. Or if you're in the third and sixth years of the sabbatical cycle, all the tithes that have been necessary to have been removed have been, except for Maiser Oni. Minayan, from where do we know that even Maiser Oni generates Tevel, untithed Maiser Oni, contained within the rest of your produce? That produce is called Tevel. From where do we know that? Talmud Lomar, Lo Sucha Lechol Bishorecha. Ulahalanu Omer, in one pasuk it says that you cannot eat it in your communities. That's a reference to Maiser Sheni. And elsewhere it says, Ulahalanu Omer, V'ochlu Bishorecha V'soveu. Ma, and that pasuk is in the context of Maiser Oni, the tithe given to the poor. Ma Shorecha Ha'omur Lahalon Maiser Oni, just like the Shorecha word used there is a reference to Maiser Oni. Af Shorecha Ha'omur Kan, so too the pasuk in Dvorim Perek Yud Beis also refers to Maiser Oni. The Omar Rachmona Lo Suchal, and the Posuk read Lo Suchal Lechol Bishorecha, so that the Tanaic source sees a reference to Maiser Oni as well in Posuk in Dvorim Perek Yud Beis Posuk Yud Zayin. So now, that having been said, we see that Maiser Oni creates Tevel. V'i mehasam. Had I had just the posuk in Dvorim Perek Yud Beis, Have Amino Lilav, I would have thought that the Tevel that Meister Oni creates results only in a negative command for one who eats it. Avol Misa Lo, but it wouldn't carry with it a Misa penalty. Komash Malon, therefore you need the posuk from Bamidbar Perek Yud Ches, the pasuk that was originally cited as the basis for Rabbi Meir. The Rabbona need that pasuk to tell me that something that is Tevel, even if it's only for Meiser Oni, it carries with it a penalty of Misa Bidei Shemayim, death at the hands of heaven, for one who eats these untithed produce, where it's untithed only because even Meiser Oni has not been removed from it. We look at the Rashi, Dibur HaMasel, Ma Truma Toveles, She calls Ma Shelo Hufrisha Chayov and Miso, Al Achilosu Shel Tevel, Deha Miso Ksiv Bei, Af Maisu Rishon Tovel, Ve'af Agav Dibididei Leko Miso, Chayov and Miso, Al Tevel Shelo Hufrish Maisu Rishon Mimenu. So Rashi is pointing out, as we said earlier, that just like Truma, as long as it has not been tithed, the produce that contains the Truma therein is Tevel and carries with it a Misa Bidei Shemayim penalty, so to all these other tithes that need to be removed, as long as they haven't been removed, the death penalty at the hands of heaven, Misa Bidei Shemayim, is present. Lishna Achrina, another version of that which we've been saying till now, Maiser Rishon de Tovil, that Maiser Rishon creates Tevel. This is what we saw above, that which the Rabbanan had learned from Bamidbar Yudches. So there's another version of that point, and it is Mide Rabbi Yossi Nafka. It is learned from Rabbi Yossi. In other words, instead of citing Bamidbar Yudches Posuch Chav Daled as the source for Maiser Rishon being Tovel, creating Tevel, so according to this version, Maiser Rishon creates Tevel from the from that which Rabbi Yossi just taught us in this Tanaic source, and not from Bamidbar Yudches. So the question then is, what do I need? What do the Rabbanan do with the Posuch in Bamidbar Yudches? Gemara answers, Imeahi, had I had just Rabbi Yossi's teaching, Havamina lelav, I would have thought that there is only a negative command. Avol misa lo, but there's no death at the hands of heaven. Komash malon, that's why I need the posuk in Bamidbar Yudches to tell me that there's also misa bidei shamayim. So that what basically this Lishna Achrino, this second version, is would appear to be very similar in what we saw in the first version, just that the wording is presented slightly differently. B'mai ukimta, our Mishnah that prohibits Maiser Rishon to a non-Levi, how have we set it up? K'Rebbe Meir, we have set it up according to Rebbe Meir. Well, Seifa, Amos Seifa, then state the continuation of the Mishnah. And let's see how things work out now. It said in the Mishnah, Bas Levi Mureses L'Kohen, Ubas Kohen L'Levi, Lo Toicha Lo B'Truma V'Lo B'Maiser. A Bas Levi who is betrothed by a Kohen, or the daughter of a Kohen who is betrothed by a Levi, in these cases, none of the tithes can be eaten by this woman, not Truma nor Maiser. Well, hocha my zoros ika, what element of zoros is there over here? The term zar is, generally speaking, associated with someone who is a Yisrael. A Yisrael is a non-Kohen or a non-Levi. But here you have Kahuna and Levi on both sides of the equation. The daughter of a Levi being betrothed by a Kohen. And we know that from a Torah perspective, from the Torah level of halacha, Once a Kohen betroths a woman, he entitles her to eat from Truma. And vice versa, if a Bas Kohen is betrothed to a Levi, she should be allowed to eat Meiser, and as far as Truma is concerned, that she has coming to her as the result of her being the daughter of a Kohen. So that either way, there should be there should be permission for these women to eat from Truma and Meiser respectively. What element of Zoros is there over here? That we said before, that our Mishnah is set up according to Rebbe Meir, that says a Zar cannot eat from Meiser Rishon. Where does the element of Zoros come in over here when you're dealing with a Bas Levi who's Mureses to a Kohen and she cannot eat from Meiser? Omar Rav Sheshes. You'll notice we have triangles highlighting two names. And on the side of the Gemara, under the Mivneh heading, these triangles represent Shnei Gishos, two approaches, Lahasbir, Hodikotoni B'Mishnah, Eino Ocheles. The Mishnah says that she cannot eat from Laor Mashikotoni B'Seifa, Baslevi, Mureses L'Kohen, where we saw the Mishnah says that a Bas Levi, that's Mureses Kohen, she's also Lo Tochal. And if up till now we've been thinking Eino Ocheles means literally, because the woman was a non-Levi, so she cannot eat from the Meiser Rishon, even if she happens to be betrothed to a Levi. So we read Omar Rav Sheshes, my Eino Ocheles Dikotoni. What does Eino Ocheles, as it appears in the Mishnah, regarding the whole Mishnah, and its reference to Lo Ocheles B'Maiser, where you see the Mishnah saying Lo Ocheles B'Maiser, what does Eino Ocheles mean? Eino Noisenes Rishus Litrom. It means she doesn't have the authority to instruct an agent to do the tithing. The Rashi that we want to look at together, just a couple lines up from here in the Rashi, Eino Noisenes Rishus Lishlucha Litrom Meiser Shel Oros. She doesn't have the authority to give instructions to an agent to tithe the Meiser Rishon, tithe of her Oros, of the one that betrothed her. Ulaharim Mimenu Trumas Meiser. And to then tithe, to have, we're talking once again about a Bas Yisrael that was his arsa that became betrothed by a man who's a Levi. We mentioned very quickly in passing earlier that a Levi who receives truma, a Levi receives Meiser Rishon, is expected to tithe the Meiser Rishon by removing 10% of it and giving it to a Kohen. So this point of the Bas Yisrael that's Mureses to a Levi, Eino Echeles, means that the woman betrothed to the Levi cannot tell an agent to remove from the Orus's Meiser Rishon the necessary Trumas Meiser tithe. And Rashi continues with a very important expression, Vahavile Ketoreng Shalomidas. That would be tantamount to having tithes removed from an owner's produce without his knowledge. And that is ineffective. The Gemara continues, Michlal, Dinesua Nosenes Rishus. So can we infer then from the Mishnah that if she would have consummated her marriage with the Levi, this Bas Yisrael, then she would be authorized to instruct an agent to do the tithing. The Gemara says, "In that is correct. That if she were Nesua, she were fully married, had consummated her marriage with the husband, she could authorize an agent to do the tithing." V'ha Tanya, as we see in the following source that deals with the Maestris tithe. V'chaltem oisoi b'chomokoim atem uveischem. That's the pasuk. He limed al Nesua Bas Yisrael. This pasuk teaches us that the wife is compared to her husband, and so with regard to giving authority to an agent to do the tithing. Ata oimer reshus litrom oeno elo lechol. And reading this pasuk, are you saying that it means giving authority to an agent to tithe, or maybe all the pasuk saying that is referring to your own eating, to the woman's own eating of it? So the Gemara answers, Amris, truma chamura ocheles. A woman, a non-Kohen, who is married to a Kohen, she is able to eat truma, which is a more severe, carries with, let's say, a greater penalty for a non-authorized person to eat it, and does eat it. So truma, which is more chamur, she, the woman married to the Kohen, is allowed to eat it. Meiser hakalo kol shekein. Meiser Rishon, which is a more relaxed area of halacha, a woman who's married to a Levi, all the more so, she herself would be allowed to eat from it. I don't need the pasuk to tell me that a woman married to a Levi is allowed to eat from Meisris. Ella, so what is the role of this pasuk? Limeid, it teaches me on the Sua Bas Yisrael that a woman who is a Bas Yisrael, but she's married to a Levi, Shenesenes Rishus Litron, that she gives... she has a right, authority to authorize an agent to do the tithing, to remove the Trumas Meiser tithe from her husband's Meiser Rishon. So up till now, that we've explained or re-explained the term Eino Ocheles as having to do with the right or lack thereof of a woman, of a wife, to instruct an agent to tithe her husband's produce. If the woman has reached only the erusin stage of their marital relationship, so she's not authorized to have an agent tithe her husband's produce. However, if she has consummated her marriage, so then she is allowed to authorize an agent to do so. Mor brei de Ravna Omar. We have a point in the Rashi that says that as far as the ratio of the Mishnah is concerned, so Mor brei de Ravna agrees with Rav Sheshes that Eino Ocheles, in the case of a Bas Yisrael, that's the Shenis Arsa Lelevi, she does not have the right to authorize an agent to tithe her oruses, the betrothed ones, Meiser Rishon, to have an agent remove the Trumas Meiser from the oruses Meiser Rishon. That is a point that Mor brei de Ravna agrees with Rav Sheshes. What Mor brei de Ravna is addressing is the Seifa that we saw quoted just above, the framed section, two lines above, where Rav Sheshes appeared in the triangle. So Mor brei de Ravna Omar, Lomar, the Seifa that spoke about a Bas Levi Mureses Lekoyin or a Bas Koyin to a Levi, and it said there, Lo Tochalo B'Truma V'Lo B'Meiser, it is telling us, Lomar She'ein Cholkin Lo Meiser B'Veis HaGronus. A Beis HaGronus is the granary. That's the site at which the tithes were distributed to those who were assigned to receive it, who were destined to receive it. So the Seifa that spoke about Maestris, it said that Lo Tochalo B'Truma V'Lo B'Meiser, that's referring to the woman receiving Meiser at the granary without her husband alongside her over there. So let's read that line again. Lomar Shein Cholkin Law, Cholkin has to do with distributed to her. So that the tithe is not distributed to her doled out to her in the granary. Well, we have to explain this a little further. There are two explanations why we say that a woman is not to receive the tithe at the granary. According to the approach that doesn't want women going to the granary as a is a result of this, the chashash, the worry, the suspicion that she might be there alone. So therefore we say that we don't give the tithe to a woman at the granary. She might appear on her own, but she'll be alone in isolation with another man, the owner of the granary who's distributing the tithes, and we don't want that to happen. Elo, Laman di Omar Mishum Grusha. But according to the opinion that says that we don't want women receiving tithes because of the possibility of divorce. Now, what do we mean when we say a possibility of divorce? Well, that means that a woman may be divorced from her husband, and let us say a woman that's a non-Kohen woman that's married to a Kohen. So when she's married, she's entitled to receive a truma. But when she's divorced, she's not entitled to receive truma anymore. So what we're worried about is the woman might be divorced, a Bas Yisrael might be divorced from her husband, and at that point she becomes a Zora, and people don't know that. And people will end up giving their tithes to her, and she's now a Zora because she's been divorced. So there's an approach that says women shouldn't be in the position where they are receiving the distribution of tithes from the granary, so as not to create an impression in the minds of the public that this is a woman who is acceptable, who's qualified to receive tithes. Now, so that explanation of Grusha, that is a limited explanation in the eyes of the Gemara in its question now. Grusha, we're going to read the parentheses section. Grusha bas Levi, milo ochla b'maiser. The Mishnah had spoken about other cases as well, including the case of a daughter of a Levi who was betrothed to a Kohen or whatever. But when you're dealing with a bas Levi, we saw the Mishnah saying eina ocheles. When we saw the bas Levi whose mureses to a Kohen doesn't get lo tochal b'truma v'lo b'maiser. If she's a bas Levi, if she's the daughter of a Levi, even if she's divorced, wouldn't she be able to eat from maiser? And as a result, what reason is there for her not to receive maiser in the granary? Ulatamech. Well, according to you, that's bothered by the case of the bas Levi, grusha bas Kohen milo ochla b'truma. Doesn't a grusha, a bas Kohen, a daughter of a Kohen who happens to be divorced, doesn't she still continue eating truma from her father's house? She certainly does. So then why is it that ein cholkin law, why is it that she doesn't receive at the granary site the tithes? Elo gzeira mishum grusha bas Yisrael. The reason we don't give the bas Kohen nor the bas Levi the truma and meiser tithes is a rabbinic restriction in anticipation of a Bas Yisrael, who is a divorcee. Ihachi, if the reason is because of divorce, my irya mureses. Why does the Mishnah feature the case of the woman who is mureses? Afila nesua nami. Even if she was fully married to her husband, and as a married woman, she has all rights in eating it. Even if she's nesua, we shouldn't be giving her at the granary site, because in the event that she is divorced, the Bas Yisrael would lose the rights to eating. So why does the Mishnah focus on the case of Mu'reses? The Gemara answers, Aidi detona reisha Mu'reses. In since the beginning of the Mishnah that spoke about actual eating, there Mu'reses is limited. So Tona Nami Seifa Mureses. Therefore, in the Seifa, the term Mureses is also used. Even though in the Seifa, the Nesua also would be one who would not receive the tithes that are distributed at the granary site. Let us look at the Rashi. You'll see three lines from the bottom. Aidi detona reshim reses, legabi achilo mamish, regarding actual eating, the hosam dachm reses, there we are in fact limiting the Mishnah's teaching to mereses, the gabi bas kain l'Yisrael, l'levi, l'inyan truma, ubas levi l'Yisrael, l'inyan meiser, Ashmina de Posula Erusin. There, the Mishnah has an agenda to teach me about a Bas Kohen who is Mureses to Israel, or a Bas Kohen who is Mureses to a Levi, that she does not eat Truma. And there, the Mishnah has to tell me about the case of Mureses. The case of Nesua to a Bas Kohen, Nesua to a non Kohen, that's obvious. Likewise, the case of a Bas Levi who is Mureses to Israel, that she doesn't eat Miser. That has to be taught in Erusin terms, because that's where you have a chiddush. The gabi bas Yisrael lekayin ulelevi ubas levi lekayin hashminon the lo mochli law. And likewise, a bas Yisrael that is mureses to a kain or to a levi, or a bas levi that's mureses to a kain, the Mishnah has to teach me that the Erusin does not enable her to eat from the tithes. So in the Reisha, the Mishnah wanted to focus on Erusin, because it was telling me chidushim, novel points. Tana, nami seifa, therefore in the seifa examples, it used the term mureses as well, even though there, it wasn't limited to mureses. The restriction of dividing out the tithes at the granary is in fact not limited to Erusin, but it applies equally to a nisua, and as we explained, in anticipation, all of that is a gezerah, a limitation, in anticipation of the situation where the Bas Yisrael, who is married to a Levi or to a Kohen, would be divorced. Tonu Rabbanon, Truma L'Kohen, U'maisi Rishon L'Levi, Divrei Rabbi Akiva. Truma is given to a Kohen, Maisi Rishon is given to a Levi. That is what Rabbi Akiva says. The opening of this source is quite reminiscent of that which we saw at the top line as well of this Omid. Rabbi Lozer ben Azariah Omer LeKohen. So Rabbi Lozer ben Azariah comes to differ with Rabbi Kiva, and he would in effect be telling us that Maaser Rishon is a tithe given to a Kohen. The Gemara asks with a tone of wonderment, LeKohen v'lo leLevi, it's given to a Kohen and not to a Levi. The Maaser Rishon, when you open up the Torah, you see that Maaser Rishon is a tithe that's given to Levim. So where does Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah come off saying that it's given, that it's not given to Levim, it's given to Kohanim? The Gemara answers, Eimo af leKohen. What Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah is telling us is that it can be given even to a Kohen. My Taimo de Rabbi Akiva. Why does Rabbi Kiva say what he does? Rabbi Kiva is telling us that it's given only to Levim. Dichtiv, the Pasuk says, in the case of Maestris, it says, V'el ha-Levim tedaber v'omar to'alem, b'Levim komishto yikra. The Pasuk is speaking in the context of Maestris to the Levim, meaning that unto the Levim, or I should say this Pasuk is speaking about the Levim. The Levim are the ones to receive Maaser Rishon. The Idach, Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, how does he grapple with the Pasuk? If the Pasuk is talking about Maasers to Levim, how does he come in saying that Kohanim are part of the Pasuk? So the answer to that is Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi. In order to understand Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, we will accept Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi's understanding of the verses. Do you remember Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi? In 24 different places in the scriptures, Kohanim are referred to by the term Levi. And here in Yecheskel Perek Mem Daled, you have an example of that, where the Pasuk is talking about the descendants of Tzadok. Tzadok was a Kohen, and it says the Kohanim that were Levium. So we see that the term Levi is used to as a reference to Kohanim as well. So when the Pasuk said on the second line from the top, Levim tedaber v'yomar t'lehem, that term is not exclusive of Kohanim. the Rebbe Akiva. What's his response to that? After all, Rebbe Akiva was of the opinion that Maaser Rishon is not distributed to Kehanim. So he says, Hocha lo motzis amris. Here in the pasuk of Devora of Bamidbar, Perek Yudches, you cannot say that Kehanim are also referred to Dichtiv, because it says V'achaltem oisoi b'chol mokoyim. Mishi achol le'achlo b'chol mokoyim. The pasuk there in Bamidbar, Perek Yudches, is speaking about a tithe that you can eat wherever you want. So, and that means not just the tithe, but it's referring to the person eating the tithe, that you can eat it wherever you want. Yotza kohen shein yochol ochlo beis hakvaros. A kohen is excluded because a kohen cannot enter a cemetery. So that Bamidbar Yudches is not talking about kohanim. The idach, Reb Elazar ben Azariah, he explains the expression b'chol mokoyim in Bamidbar Yudches v'achatam oisei b'chol mokoyim as follows: kol hecha deboi. The word b'chol mokoyim means wherever you want, means deloboi choma v'ochil lei betumas haguf lo loki. Let us say that according to Reb Elazar ben Azariah, the focus is not so much on the person as Rabbi Akiva was taking the pasuk, but the focus is on the item. The item, namely Maaser Rishon, is a type of food, a type of tithe that doesn't need a wall. Let's say in contrast to Maaser Sheni, which needs to be brought into the walls of Jerusalem. And likewise, the Maaser Rishon doesn't require purity as Truma and Maaser Sheni require. And hence, the Gemara is saying, Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah is telling you, if you eat it betumas haguf, if you eat it when the person himself is ritually impure, lo loki is not subject to malchus. So as far as Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah is concerned, the focus once again is on the tithe itself, the Maaser Rishon, not the person per se. And hence, v'achaltem oisoi b'chol moko means you can eat it without a wall restriction and without a purity limitation. Hahi ginsa, there was a garden, dahave shokil Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah Maaser Rishon mina, from which Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, who himself was a Kohen, he was actually a descendant, the 10th generation from Ezra HaSofer, Ezra who was also a Kohen, this Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah was taking Maaser Rishon from this particular garden, a vegetable garden. Also, Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva came, Ahadre Lepischa Lebei Kavri. He repositioned the entrance to the garden so that the only entrance exit point would be, the only opening to the garden would be through a cemetery. So you see that Rabbi Akiva had something in mind here as far as limiting Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah from going into that garden and taking maaseres. Omar, so Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah reacted and said, Akiva betarmilo v'ano chai. The word tarmilo is a word referring to what we would call a backpack. It's a leather case that shepherds used to use for holding their food, and it would hang around their necks. Maybe in that sense slightly different than a backpack, but it was a sack all the same. And Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah was reacting, as we said, to what Rabbi Akiva did. The Marsha adds here an explanation that Rabbi Akiva intended to take these maaseres on behalf of the poor. The poor are hinted to by this expression, tarmilo, and Rabbi Akiva was didn't want Reb Elazar ben Azariah taking the tithe, but rather he wanted to take it on behalf of the poor and distribute it to them. But Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah knew through his tradition that the Kohanim also have a right to receive the Miser tithe. The full explanation of the Marsha is more easily understood by seeing the continuation of this Gemara, and hence we'll move on in the Gemara. Itmar, Mipnei Ma Konsu Leviim B'Maiser. Now Rashi points out that this statement is not a direct flow of what was said up till this point, but it's working with a certain assumption that we know that the Leviim were fined and that they no longer receive Maisris. And it's in this light that the Marsha made his comment regarding Rabbi Kiva. Rabbi Kiva wanted to take the Maisris on behalf of the poor and distribute to them, and this was in the on the backdrop of that which we just said, that the Leviim at a certain point in history had lost their exclusive claim on Maisris. So here the Gemara is going to analyze that, and you can see here we have we'll see there are a couple of approaches taken in the Gemara which we've indicated with the numbering on the side. So the question right now is, why is it that the Leviim were, the victims of, or the, we'll say the object of a fine depriving them of receiving the Maiser Rishon tithe? Pligi ba Rabbi Yonason Vesavio. There are two approaches or two opinions. Chad Omar Shelo Olu Bimei Ezra. The Leviim, as a group, did not return to the land of Israel in the time of Ezra. This was at the conclusion of the 70-year exile to Bavel, where the Persian monarchy gave permission to the Jews in exile to return to the Eretz Yisrael and rebuild the Beis HaMikdash. The Leviim remained behind, and as a result of that, a knas was imposed on them, that they are no longer to receive the Maiser tithe. V'chad Omar, another approach to explain why the Leviim were fined. K'day shiyismechu kohanim olav bimei tumasan. Well, here we'll just translate. In order for the kohanim to have something to eat when they are in a state of ritual impurity, when a kohen is tamei, so he can't eat truma, his source of food will be maisris. So they'll receive the maiser rishon tithe in order to have a food supply when they are tamei. Bishlam alaman damar shelo olu mishum hachi kansu. The first approach makes sense, since they didn't come back to the land of Israel. I might add parenthetically that it's in the land of Israel that tithing is practiced. Well, the Leviim showed disinterest in the land of Israel, so they lost out on receiving the tithe. That makes sense. Mishum hachi kansinu, because of that they were fined. Elo leman domar kedei shiyismichu olav kohanim bimei tumasan. But according to that reason, that the kohanim should have a food supply when they are ritually impure. Mishum kohanim kansinu leleviim. Does that make sense? Because of our interest in the kohanim having a food supply, the Leviim have to lose out? Elo kuli alma knasa shelo olu bimei Ezra. Everyone agrees that the Leviim's lack of, and or let's say stopping of receiving the Maaser Rishon tithe is a function of this knas, of this fine. They didn't come back to Israel in the time of Ezra. So then what is the machlokes between Rabbi Yonason and Savia referring to? V'ocha b'holka miflagi. The following is the basis of their argument. Mor sovar knosel aniyim, umor sovar kohanim bimei tumasim aniyim ninu. One says that the knas, the fine, in other words, the loss of Leviim, in a sense, is the gain of the poor. And this, by the way, is what the Marsha was referring to before, when Rabbi Akiva had moved in to that to the garden story and changed the entrance, because Rabbi Akiva was of the opinion that the knas is the benefit of the aniyim. They are to benefit from it. And Umar Savar, the other opinion that we had seen, we had underlined two Chad Omar several lines up, the other opinion holds, Kehanim, when they are in a state of ritual impurity, Kehanim be made tumasun, aniyim ninu, they are like poor. So that in a sense, there's agreement that the Levium lose, as we said, because of their non-return in the time of Ezra. Who is the benefit of that? The poor. The question is, how do you define the poor? Bishlomo, and again, we're going to read the parentheses section. Bishlomo amar knasa la'aniyim. According to the approach that says that the knas is to go to the truly impoverished. Mishum hochi ahatri Rabbi Akiva l'pischa l'beikavri. That explains Rabbi Akiva's changing of the entrance to that particular garden, keeping Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah out of there. Elo lamad yomar l'kehanim, but according to the Amora that says that the Kohanim are also entitled to receive the Maaser Rishon, because when the Kohanim are Tomei, they're viewed as impoverished. Amai ahadre l'pischa l'beikavri. Why did what motivated Rabbi Akiva to change the entrance to the garden? Why would Rabbi Akiva have moved the entrance if the knas is to go to Kohanim as well? The Gemara answers, Hochi ka'omar lei. The following is what Rabbi Akiva was really trying to communicate to Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah. If you are coming to take the maestris in the context of a fine that, namely, that Levium should be receiving it, but we restrict them because they didn't come back to the land of Israel, and the rights to the Maaser Rishon was thereby redirected to the poor. And according to this Madomar, of course, the poor include Kehanim when they are Tomei. So if that's why you are going to that garden to collect the Maestris, fine. However, the E Ka'osis Betoras Chaluka Les Loch. But if you're going to the garden in order to receive the Maaser Rishon, because it's something by that is to be distributed at the outset to Kehanim, then you have no basis for taking the Maaser Rishon. So that's what Rabbi Akiva was trying to communicate to Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah. Not that you have no rights to this whatsoever, but it depends. If you're coming to collect it on the basis of Knas, fine. But if you're coming to collect it on the basis of Chalukah, distribution by letter of the law, that no. Umino lon delo saliku b'me'asr. From where do we know that the Levium did not ascend to Eretz Yisrael in the time of Ezra? Dichtiv, the pasuk says. This is a pasuk that Ezra is in which Ezra is the speaker. Vakaptzem el hanohar habo al ahava v'nachno shom yomim shloisha. And I gathered the returnees to this river site, and we camped there for 3 days. Avino ba'am ubakehanim, and I avino from the word lahavin is to understand. As I looked into, I researched the population in front of me. Who were they? Umibnei Levi lo matzosi sham, and I didn't find any Levium there. So we see that the Levium did not come back with the returnees at the time of Ezra. Omrav Chista, betchila lohoyu mamidim shoytrim elo min aleviim. Since we mentioned Leviim, so we make a further reference to them. Originally, shoytrim, we translate, generally speaking, as police. Those that are charged with overseeing the population as following the law. So we didn't establish shotrim other than people who were from Levi. Shnemar, v'shoytrim halevim lifnechem, as that pasuk would indicate. Levim is associated, shoytrim are associated with Levim. Achshof, but nowadays, ein mamidim shoytrim elo mi Yisrael. The shoytrim are chosen from amongst the Yisrael, the larger community. Shneamar v'shoytrim harabim b'roshechem. And we look in Rashi, v'shoytrim harabim b'roshechem, dehainu Yisrael, shem rabim milavim. The word rabim means the masses, so that the pasuk is referring to the multitudes, and the Yisrael constitutes the multitudes in contrast to Levim, which was a much smaller population. In this Mishnah, we have a couple of diamonds, and on the side of the Gemara, we want to note the under the Nosei topic heading what we're going to see. So the diamonds, which are accompanied by Roman numerals 1 and 2, open up with sections dealing with a Bas Yisrael, and later a Bas Kohen. Ma dinam bachilas truma ekev nisuehem l'kohen Levi v'Yisrael. What is the law that applies? What rights or lack thereof does a Bas Yisrael or a Bas Kohen who marries a Kohen and then afterwards a Levi and then afterwards a Yisrael, and they have Veledas Yiladim, and then they bear children. What effects do these things have on these different kinds of women? You'll see that a trapezoid form is used to highlight the expression of Niseis Le, either Niseis to a Kohen, Niseis to a Levi, or to a Yisrael. Niseis means married, where she consummates her marriage with one of these different kinds of men, respectively. So the Mishnah begins, Bas Yisrael, Sheniseis L'Kohen, Toichal B'Truma. A Bas Yisrael comes from a non-Kohen household. If she marries a Kohen, she consummates her marriage with a Kohen, she's entitled to eat from Truma. Mace, V'lohe Meno Ben, Toichal B'Truma. If the husband dies, but she has a child from him, so she has a son that's a Kohen, that enables her to continue eating Truma. Afterwards, Niseis Lelevi, then afterwards she marries she remarries a Levi after she had born a child to the Kohen. So she has a child from a Kohen. She marries a new husband, a Levi. Toichal b'meiser. She eats a meiser, and we add not truma, because by marrying the Levi, she loses the kahuna status that she had as a result of her child. She becomes now a Zora. So she can, but she is entitled to eat from Meiser. Mace, the husband dies, the Levi dies, Velohi Meno Ben, and she has a son from the Levi, Tochal B'Meiser. She is allowed to eat from Meiser, the Meiser Rishon Tithe, because of her son. And that very son also disqualifies her from Truma. And that's based on a pasuk that you can see quoted in Rashi. So she eats from Meiser, but not from Truma. Niseis l'Yisrael, this very same woman, now marries a Yisrael. Lo toichal, lo b'truma v'lo b'meiser. She is excluded from Truma and Meiser. Mace, v'lo himenu ben. If the husband Yisrael dies and she has a son from Yisrael, lo toichal, lo b'truma v'lo b'meiser. That Yisrael son prevents her from eating the other tithes that she had eaten in the past, even though she has children from those previous husbands. Mace b'no miYisrael toichal v'meiser. If the son from the Yisrael dies, so then the disqualification that was experienced because of that particular child is removed. So she goes back to the stage before where she was eating Meiseris. Mace b'no mi Levi. The son that she had from a Levi, now he dies. Tochal b'truma. She's entitled to. How do we describe this lady? This is a lady. She has husbands, and the children that she had from Israel and Levi are gone, but she does have a son from the Kohen. So that child enables her to eat from truma. Meis benami Kohen. When the child from the Kohen dies, and again, we opened up this section by focusing on a Bas Yisrael. So lo tochal, lo b'truma, v'lo b'meiser. She has no rights to eat from truma nor from meiser. She's simply a Bas Yisrael, not married, and has no children. Now, the second section of the Mishnah, which we see at the top of the Pei Zayin Amal Aleph, Bas Kohen Shenises Yisrael. As the daughter of a Kohen, so she was entitled to eat truma from her father's house, but now she marries a non-Kohen, she marries Yisrael, so lo tochal b'truma. She stops eating truma from her father's house. Meis v'lo haymenu ben lo tochal b'truma. The husband dies, but she does have a son from that Yisrael. She cannot go back to her father's house for truma eating. She's still prevented from truma. Niseis v'levi tochal b'meiser. Upon her marriage, the Bas Kohen's marriage to a Levi, she's entitled to eat Meiser. Meis v'lo haymenu ben. If the Levi dies and she has a son from the Levi, tochal b'meiser. That son enables her, the Bas Kohen, to eat from Meiser. Niseis l'kayin tochal b'truma. She, upon her marriage to a Kohen, that enables her, through her husband, to eat from Truma. Meis v'lo haymenu ben tochal b'truma. If the Kohen husband dies, but she has a son from the Kohen, that Kohen child enables the mother to eat from Truma. And now, that's enabling her to eat from Truma, we'll say overruling the fact that she has children from a Levi and a Yisrael. Meis benomi Kohen, lo tochal b'truma. If the Kohen child dies, even though we're dealing with a Bas Kohen, but nevertheless you have a Bas Kohen that has children from non-Kohanim, so she cannot eat from Truma. Meis benomi Levi, lo tochal b'meiser. If the Levi son dies, the Bas Kohen cannot eat from Meiser either. Meis beno Yisrael, if the child that she had from the Yisrael dies, so now we have, what do we describe here? We have a Bas Kohen that has no children. Chazeres lebeis aviyah, she goes back to her husband's house, to her father's house, that is, and eats Truma once again. The Alzin Emma, regarding this, the Pasuk says, Vishova el Beis Aviyah, Kinurea, Milechem Aviyah Tochel. She goes back to her father's house as she was when she was a youth and restarts eating Truma. Before we conclude, let us remind you that if you wish to be in touch with us in order to access marked Gemaras, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.